and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I'm glad that you're able to join me today. On this week's episode, we're taking a look at Acts chapter 15 and what happens when ministry gets messy. And sometimes how when we follow God's will, we realize that it's going to put us in some tough situations. And we're going to learn how we respond to that and how we can see God's will and his purpose play out in each and every one of our lives. I hope you're excited for today. I know I am. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15 and let's dive in. Today we find ourselves taking a look at the fact that churches are composed of people from every perspective, heritage, and history. And the diversity of people in each church usually leads to conflicting views on all sorts of different things. One doctor said that anytime two people come together, there are likely to be differences in their beliefs. Whether it is expectations or attitudes or concerns or hopes or values. And really, in every group of people that we have been a part of or that I've been a part of, I've experienced this truth. And church is not exempt from that. Churches are composed of people from every perspective, heritage, and history, right? And so the diversity of people in each church should be something that is a strength, not a hindrance. Yet often we take conflicting views as something that is a hindrance. And that's what I want us to talk about a bit today. And every person who becomes a Christian brings with them a set of ideas and perspectives and attitudes. And conflict is uncomfortable, but it's not always bad. In fact, failing to engage in conflict is a terrible decision, one that puts our temporary comfort and the avoidance of discomfort ahead of the ultimate goal of really seeking to build God's kingdom. It's that serious. And this is not a modern problem. It's a struggle that the disciples have dealt with from the very beginning. And we've talked a bit about this in our series that we've been going through on being bold and how when we go and follow God's will, sometimes ministry will get a little messy. And we're doing stuff together, we're working together, we're reaching out together. And I want to talk about how disciples overcome differences together as we look at Acts chapter 15. The greatest conflict in the early church regarded Jewish believers struggling to accept Gentile believers. There may have been nothing more earth-shattering, really, to the Jewish disciples and the entrance of disciples into the church with full acceptance. And in the text that we're looking at in Acts chapter 15, this conflict reaches a boiling point when a ministry group decides that the Gentiles have become Jewish to become Christians. And so essentially what happens is Gentiles were saying, oh, I had to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. In Acts chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, goes along saying that then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and must be required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. And the apostles and the elders had a conference in Jerusalem to discuss how to navigate these difficult problems and questions. And Peter stood up to remind them that in verse 7, the Gentiles heard the gospel. B, the Gentiles believed the gospel. C, the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. D, the Gentiles are purified by faith. And E, the Gentiles are saved by the grace of God, just like everybody else. And Paul and Barnabas testified that there had been signs and wonders also among the Gentiles in verse 12. And James spoke up and quotes the prophet Amos, signifying that the open door to the Gentiles is part of God's plan. And when conflict arose, the disciples worked hard to overcome their differences. They weren't perfect. They were human, but they were devoted to building bridges instead of walls because they were following Jesus. And they acknowledged the first purpose in what they were doing. And I want to stop for a moment as we look at this and understand that As the disciples were arguing over this, as the Jewish people were not sure about letting the Gentiles into the church, which seems interesting because the church had let the Jewish people into it, right? So you can see how there's a level of acceptance and then a level of unacceptance in the church. And I want to say that some of the times that we see this the most in a church setting is actually when you see church growth. When you've seen churches that have been around for a very long time and people have grown comfortable to the people who are sitting with them in the chairs every single week. And as new people come into the church, there's new perspectives that come into the church. There is new hurt that people bring with them and new context that people bring with them. And often we find this is a sticking point for many where they say, well, this is my church. I kind of know what we want. Rather than saying, well, this is open for anyone. And this is kind of what the Jewish people are saying to the Gentiles. You know what? We're like-minded. We're Jewish Christians. We're Messianic Jews. And yet the disciples will, or the Gentiles will bring a very different perspective to this and how they might respond to different situations. And it might not be in agreement with us. But what we can see as we look at the conflict that arose in Acts chapter 15 is that that there is some ways in which we can say conflict can be edifying, that we can see restoration as something that is that comes out from strength, that is building and strengthening the church in our own individual walks. And we can see this almost bit by bit in the words that we read next, starting in verse 7 of chapter 15. And I want to just talk about, you know, four or five different things which we can glean from this passage on how we can actually grow stronger even when things seem messy. And the first that we see right in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, at the beginning, it says, after much discussion. Now, notice it didn't say after much yelling, after much arguing. It said after much discussion. And I think the one thing that we see here is a bit of listening that's happening. And listening is hard work. It demands that we put aside our thoughts for a moment and learn from somebody else, even when we think that we know maybe everything or we know all we need to know on that topic. A commentator wrote that the biggest problem about communication is that we do not listen to understand, but instead listen to reply. And I love that statement. Again, let me say that. The problem about communication is that we don't listen to understand, but instead we listen in order to reply, in order to form a rebuttal. And yet we see here, after much discussion, this is what's happening with the disciples. In James chapter 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so there's that first part of saying, when we've got a different perspective, are we listening in order to reply? Or are we listening in order to understand a perspective? Doesn't mean you have to agree, and no one is saying that. In fact, I spent, as many of you know, 3 years in Jerusalem. And lots of times I get the question of why did you go to Jerusalem to learn about Old Testament? And I was at a Jewish university with a full Bible department. However, the Bible department is only what we would know as the Old Testament. In fact, whenever I would be taking a class on, let's say, Isaiah or Jeremiah, and the professor would say, where have you heard this verse before? Or where have you heard an allusion to this verse before? If you said, oh, in Luke chapter 2, immediately I had one professor who would go into almost a fit of rage, and you could see him hitting that boiling point as he went on to then go into a bit of a diatribe about the fact that if you want to reference the New Testament, then you have to go to the comparative religions department of the school. But this is the Bible department, which is only the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. And yet people ask why I would go to that. I spent 4 years at a Bible college, then went over to Jerusalem to the university there, and then returned for my PhD to a setting that is more in line with my foundations and my beliefs. But I also understood that it is important that we've got an entire section of the Bible that people view with a totally different perspective in many ways, without view of Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, I thought it was great. It wasn't changing my belief. In fact, it was helping strengthen it. But I had to understand how the people of the Old Testament heard Scripture and how they viewed it. It's why you hear me give so much of a focus on things like the Sitzenleben, the original context. How did the original hearers of the word take it? And what was the setting that they were in? It doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. That's where we would find ourselves. You know, asking that question first. How did the first readers, how did the first hearers of this interpret it? And that's what's happening here. Again, this challenge for us in communication to say, are we listening to understand or are we simply listening to reply? And so after much discussion in verse 7, it goes continuing in verse 7 about testifying to love. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that disciples might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and that they may believe. Now, what I love in this is not only this ability that we need to learn to listen, but also that we need to testify to the love and grace of God. Peter reminded them all that the message was from God. It resulted in the gospel being preached. It resulted in Gentiles becoming believers. The situation they found themselves in was because people were believing in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and now we're wanting to be a part of community and be a part of the church. And I love that Peter draws them back to really the foundational topic, and the reason why they were doing this in the first place is that more people were coming to know Jesus every single day. And all of a sudden, it takes a different perspective when there's a heated argument or a much discussion around this, is when they realize why this was happening was a result of people coming to know Jesus, and that God had given Peter the mission to preach to the Gentiles. The words that point to the gospel and they point to Jesus, when we attempt to build bridges, we build on the foundation of Jesus, is really what Peter is saying here. Too often we can be so intent on winning the argument that we lose the person. And can our words be heard in light of helping others believe is really the question that we want to ask today. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And this picture again of Peter reminding them and bringing everything back in focus. And I love that. Not only were they listening, learning to listen, they were also being reminded of their purpose in the first place. The other that we also see is another important one as we continue this is to accept the other person. As you read through verses 8 through 10, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. Equal. Verse 9, he did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try and test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? And I think what Peter's doing here is, you know, in this statement is he's saying God knows the heart of everyone in a conflict. And in verse 8, accepting another person doesn't mean that you have to agree with what they say. It gives us an even place to talk about our differences and creates that forum. And we live in a world where this is increasingly more difficult. We live in a society and in America where it is increasingly more difficult to have a discussion on differences without having to get into a heated argument or someone being, you know, maybe storming out of a room. As we approach Thanksgiving down in the U.S. or as we've had Thanksgiving up in Canada, we find that there was maybe that question as the holidays approach of, oh, are we going to get into a discussion about politics? Are we going to get into a discussion about, you know, vaccines or masks and any of the other hot topics that are going on today? And I think that as we start to realize this, I mean, there's that natural tendency to say, let's just avoid this. But I think this goes back to the second point in verse 7, which is really, are we going back to the foundations of what this is, right? Are our words being edifying? Are we reminded that where we're supposed to be, the gospel is being preached? And are the conversations we're having hindering the spread of the gospel? Or are they helping the spread of the gospel? And Peter's really good at this and asking that question, can our words be heard in light of helping others believe? As we have conversations, are we helping God's kingdom grow? And that really comes with, like I said, that acceptance of the other person. The basis of our being able to help accept others is grace. That's in it, all in itself is that encompassed by grace. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are, in verse 11. And a lot about what we're reading here is that we're challenged to build a life by living a life of grace. And we're supposed to build bridges by treating one another with grace. And we're supposed to listen by receiving grace. And it's impossible for us to grow stronger or build stronger bridges between each other and see community grow stronger if we don't have that grace and don't show that grace and aren't willing to accept that grace when we make mistakes as well. And as we start to do that, I believe that we come back to the foundations of everything, where we start to see God's will together and seeking God's will together. James points out a passage in Amos that's directed them to seek the Lord. Nothing else matters if not committed to God's will. And in a bit of a foreshadowing to the next series that we're looking at in Romans chapter 12 is Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. And that's part of it, is as they discussed, as they realized the foundations of where they were and what God had been calling them to, all of a sudden, as they start to seek the all sought to seek God's will wholeheartedly, they did it together, and things started to come into focus. And so for where we are today, as we finish up this passage, as we get to, just even looking at verses 19 to 21, it challenges us to not be that stumbling block towards others in their walk. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Why put up roadblocks for people who want to know more about Jesus? Even if they are not Christ followers, but they're asking about Jesus and want to know more, why would we create stumbling blocks for them as they're earnestly wanting to know more about Jesus Christ? This gave the Gentiles a way to show love to their Jewish brothers and sisters. This gave the Jewish believers a way to show love to their Gentile friends. Because in this instructive move, the apostles help build a bridge by giving guidance and being met halfway. In verse 20 and 21, it says, instead, we should write to them, tell them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from the blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest of times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. They took some general constructs that God had given for society for their own health and found that middle ground. They didn't make compromises, but it found a way to show love, like not eating from food polluted by idols or from certain meats allowed the Gentiles to show a way to love their Jewish brothers and sisters. And allowing, and the Jewish people, believers, were able to show love to their Jewish and Gentile friends by accepting them for who they were. not having to put them through different different rituals that were from the law of Moses. Now, again, look at what happens. It gave each group a way to show love to the other one and never compromise the gospel message in any way. The Jews and the Gentiles had a lot to work out, and they didn't do it perfectly. Romans was written all by itself to address that specific issue. So don't get me wrong. There was a lot going on, and they had a lot to work out aside from just what we're talking about today in Acts. But in Acts, Luke paints a picture of two groups seeking to build bridges because disciples overcome differences. And ministry gets messy. And listen to how it ends. And this is a great way for us to end today. Is that in Acts 15:31, it says, "The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message." The challenge for disciples to work together, to get together, to reach out together, to overcome differences together was one that helped God's kingdom grow by disciples working together. And so as we may think of what differences we may have with other people or what conflicts may be going on, our prayer this week is that we're able to listen, not to reply, but to understand perspective, so that we can seek to make sure the foundations are the same, that nothing is heretical, that foundations of building God's kingdom are there, but then we can also grow together. We're going to continue on with this one more week as we look at God using imperfect people as we finish our bold series. And then, as I already teased, we are heading into Romans chapter 12 for a couple weeks to look at God's will and God's purpose in our life. But I don't want to give too much away, so I will leave it there for today. I want to thank you for joining me and joining me on this podcast as we've been journeying through this. Take care. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining us on the Luke Miller Podcast, part of Sunrise Digital Ministries at Sunrise Community Church in Fair Oaks, California. If you're wanting to know more about our digital ministries, you can download our app at the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, where you'll find Backshed Bible Study, Sunday Sermons, and the Luke Miller Podcast. If you've got questions about who Jesus is or what it means to be a Christ follower, we would love to connect with you. And you can send us a note at www.sunrise.church/welcome, and we'll get you connected. Thanks again for joining us. Take care.